This song is so appropriate for episode 6 of Consider the Lilies. That was What Shouldn't I Be by one of my favorite artists, Sampra. Cool, beautiful brother out of the UK, Sampra. And he poses the question, what shouldn't I be? And I am just so privileged and honored to talk to someone who I greatly, greatly admire. I don't know if she really understands how much I admire her. And there are so many things that she is. She is and she is becoming right before my very eyes and in her friends and family's eyes. Tini is going to talk to us about everything that she is and the journey that it has taken for her to get to this place within her own self that she calls home. And this is episode 6, The Power to Trust the Process. Whew, the process. I'm so glad that God is with us on this process. You're going to love this episode, and I cannot find too many people with a spirit as gentle as Tini, so you're going to fall in love with her too. Enjoy episode 6, The Power to Trust the Process. This is Consider the Lilies. Tini, often in this process, we find ourselves in new spaces, new places, and we could be alone. But do you feel alone?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I did at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that and learned really quickly that home is something I have to actively cultivate.
Mm.
So I took those steps and reached out to folks, reconnected with folks, and stopped waiting for home to come to me. So it's been unfolding, and I am starting to feel at home here. I'm starting to create the home that I need.
Mm.
Yeah. And for a long time, I used to be like, oh my gosh. Because in Durham, when I got there, it was home almost immediately. And so I was looking for that everywhere I went, everywhere else, and comparing this experience to that. And so a shift came for me, like, in the middle, like, after 2 months after I got here, and I was like, all right, so it's not just going to magically happen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to not replicate what I had in Durham, but find ways to see what that looks like in Seattle. Because
mm-hmm.
I am supposed to be here. So okay.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this process and this journey and this, you know, I don't know, I might be showing my age, but do you remember Zelda? The video game?
with Link and all that. You remember Zelda?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't play it, but I do remember it.
Yeah. That's, you know, I don't know. I've always liked that, and I've always appreciated that. And I didn't even know when I was little that my life would kind of be like that. You know, the only difference is now I feel like there's not necessarily an end goal. You know,
woo!
Come on, don't start now. You know how we do. You know how we do.
That was the reason.
Right? He had to save the princess, right? He had to save the princess, and then he had all of these obstacles along the journey. And there was beautiful music. And then when he got perilous, there was, you know, suspenseful music. But the whole goal and the reward came at the end. And that's a theology that I'm trying to reverse.
It's not real. The journey is the goal. The process is the goal. And there's so many parts of our life where we're taught the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to get married. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
You're going to go to school, get that degree. That's the goal. You're going to get the job. That's the goal. But it's like everything I did to get there was the goal. Like when I got there, it wasn't suddenly like, this is a like everything is perfect now. It was a new journey.
That's how getting married was.
Yeah.
Getting married on the 4th of May was an epic day. It was. We were tired. We were happy. And we went to sleep at the end of the day. It's all the other stuff over the last something years, you know, and that day was just a part of it. And when I was younger, that was it. Like, when
and
you were younger,
that's what it was gonna look like.
No, it was real practical. We had stuff to do, and we knew, and we had made up our minds, and then we were already like married, you know, in our souls. When you were growing up, what was your princess that you had to save? What was your thing?
For me, honestly, it wasn't marriage. Like, okay. I was very much like, I need to be successful. Like, that was my princess. Like, I was like, I want to get the degrees. I want to, you know, get the job that will make my family proud, because you immigrated here when I was really young and I'm the oldest. So there was kind of that expectation that I was going to do something great. And for me, that was like being a doctor, right? And so when that shifted, I had to shift what my princess, I had to figure out like, what is this? Like, why am I here? If what I thought the reason I was here for doesn't exist anymore, right? If that's not my reality. And so now I think that's still evolving. Like, I don't know what that, I don't think I have one anymore. I think I'm fine with that.
You don't have a princess?
The princess meaning like what I'm trying to aspire to.
Yeah, that nugget. You've evolved from that.
Yeah, I think there's several things. There's just like, I just want to be fully alive. Like, I want to be like, whatever that looks like, that may look like marriage, which I want. It may look like children, which I also want, and you know this well. And it may look like, you know, really using my gift of creativity. But I stopped having the idea that it like it's going to look like a very specific thing.
When did you relinquish that? Was it at the major change? Did you change your major or?
Yeah, so that was one part of the process. A major change was definitely one part of the process.
And guys, Tenny is a recent graduate of the wonderful Duke University.
Yes. So that part was a journey and a process too. But so I went to undergrad and I was going to be a doctor. It was what was expected. It was what everyone knew. Mm-hmm. It was what I had been saying for most of my teenage years, my childhood. And so I got to school, and, you know, mind you, I'm going to school with kids who had like gone to private school their whole life, who had access to all these resources that I just didn't. And so I'm taking classes, pre-med classes, biology, chemistry, and I'm failing. Like, I am not, they're just not doing well. I'm getting like a D plus, and they're messaging my parents like, hey, your daughter is in danger of failing. Meanwhile, in my school in South Los Angeles, like, I was always doing well, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was just confusing time. And so I had to call my parents, crying on the phone, like, I don't think I could do this doctor thing. And so that was a huge shift for me, because it was not only relinquishing my expectation and my princess or my, you know, what I'd built my identity on, it was also relinquishing the expectations and the identity built for me by my family and society. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of, I think that was probably the major first step, one of the major like first steps in coming into my truth and being like, this is not what I want.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you think you were failing those classes? Because, you know, Tenny, I know you. You tell all these other people, but Tenny, you're brilliant. You are the sharpest tack in the box. But sometimes it doesn't matter about our aptitude. It matters what we have attached ourselves to. Mm. Did you not attach yourself to a pre-med program? And that was why you didn't find yourself doing well? Or were there other things going on during that time that you've since now looked back and analyzed?
I think it just wasn't in alignment with my truth. Like, I don't like hospitals. I don't like doctors. Hmm. I mean, I don't like blood. Sorry, I do like doctors. I don't like hospitals or blood.
We love doctors. Thank you, doctors.
No, we love doctors, especially now. And so I had to, it gave me the opportunity to be like, what do I like? And that was the first time I had asked myself that question. Like, what do I like? I was 18.
Wow.
Yeah. And even then,
wow,
I don't think I was really sitting in the truth of like, what do I like? It was like, what do I like that will still be acceptable, right? Because if it was up to me, I would have studied like sociology, African American studies. But when I brought that to certain people, they were like, that's not practical. So I ended up studying psychology, which I was like, okay, I guess I could still use this, you know, in a quote unquote practical way. And so, you know, and I'm glad I did it, because I think that there are lessons that I learned just about myself and people in that process that helped me to do the work that I do now. Even the work that I do outside of work, which is creative work, like what drives people, what makes people the way that they are, how do people think, how do people reason and connect with each other, what moves people. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of questions that I was interested in answering and learning more about.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of my Nigerian friends have some of the same parts of this story, where their parents kind of craft a journey for them, and out of duty and love, right? Love, love for parents to child back to the parents. A lot of honor there. A lot of things that I personally admire. The kids accept the journey that was created for them. Is there, how did you navigate through just the weight of saying, this isn't for me? I know that you guys have seen this through, but I don't even like this. I And if you need a doctor, if you're a doctor, I'm gonna need you to deal with blood. I'm gonna, you know,
right? Like, that's kind of important.
Yeah, Sean,
it's a journey. And it's still a process. And there's, you know, that was one part of the process, but it's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's, I know that the part of the career is unique to, I would say, the immigrant narrative, where it's like your parents come here, they want the best for you.
That is
the bottom line of it. Like, their intention is to see you succeed, and what success means to them is being the best and getting the highest possible thing you can attain in this foreign land, this land that is foreign to them, this land that mm-hmm. rejects them, that constantly is trying to spit them out, mm-hmm. right? And so for them, you being a doctor, you being well respected, means that their journey here, which is oftentimes not easy, was worth it. Mm-hmm. And so that was hard for me too. Like, that's why it makes it so hard, because you see your parents' heart, you see their intention,
their sacrifice,
but you also see your truth, which you've for the longest time pushed to the back, right? But when you're in it, that truth is struggling to come out. That truth is like, I'm here. Like, mm-hmm. right? Because you're in it. You're the one going to class. You're the one sitting with your classmates who are enjoying these things, like, it comes naturally to them. They're in their element. And you know there are other things that you care about. You know that there are other subjects, other, you know, majors that are more appealing to you and where you can thrive. Mm-hmm. But you're struggling and trying to finish this journey that preceded you, mm-hmm. And so it's ongoing. And for me, after I graduated, you know, I pushed through. I got the psychology degree. The journey didn't stop there. It was like, okay, so you're gonna get a job. Got the job. You're gonna get a master's. Like, you need to do that yesterday, like right after you graduate, right? And so that was another conversation that I had to have, like, hey, you know, I want to get work experience. I want to work for 5 years. And I think that the fear, not only from my parents, but even the society that we were embedded in, because we were in a very, even though we lived in Los Angeles, we were in a very Nigerian based community. And so there's a lot of questions of like, hey, when are you going to go back to school? Like, when are you going to get your master's? Because to them, that's also another part of the journey, like another part of that perceived success. Like, you're going to get the highest of what this land can offer you. You're going to maximize our sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. And no one's going to stop you from being your best. And part of that is also the new expression and experience of racism and like xenophobia that you experience when you come into a new country that wasn't present, you know, when you're in your own land. And so that's their way of like protecting their children from that, right? And so that conversation continued after I graduated, where it's like, hey, I'm gonna take some time off, and you know, I need work experience before I want to go get an MBA, and having to, you know, explain what that looks like again, and trust my process, trust that even though I wasn't aligned with what they wanted, I had to block out the noise, because I knew what my goal was, and the timeline needed to align well. So there were even times where I tried before I eventually came to Duke to get a degree, and it just wasn't working. Like, when things are not for you, you know, if you're sensitive to the spirit, you feel it. And right. So I would apply for stuff, get admitted, but like not get no funding. And I was like, this is not my portion. Like, if I'm going to school, I am. I know that there are going to be ways that God is going to tell me, like, that's for me. And I know that some sort of funding is part of that process, right? And so I would have to say no. And it didn't make sense to people, like, okay, just go do it. Like, you got a mission. But I was like, you know what? I guess it's not time yet. And so that was also part of the process, too, not only knowing what is for me, but knowing when.
It's more than just where we're going. The when, and we've said this on other episodes, but the when oftentimes is just as vital and just as pivotal, if not more, than the what. If I were to do certain things over again, which I wouldn't, but if I had to, I would be more keen to God's timing. And when I felt like things were moving too slow for me, I would have been a lot more patient. This is such a great conversation with Tenny. I hope that you are enjoying it as much as I am. This is episode 6. Episode 6, The Power to Trust the Process. And that process has everything to do with God's timing, too. This is Consider the Lilies. It's almost like once an opportunity comes, they can't imagine you deferring that. Mm. It's almost like they think, well, you're not going to get admitted again.
Yeah.
Just jump in and figure it out. I've taken opportunities where I've looked back on them now and it's because of grace that I've gotten through them. Mm. But I shouldn't have took those opportunities.
Yeah.
It felt like Mark Anthony has a song that I've always loved in Spanish, contra la corriente, against the current. Mm. And that's how these opportunities felt. All these opportunities, they felt great and they felt like they were from God, but I wasn't mature enough to see that when it's really in God's timing and in the season for the opportunity, you'll be swimming with the current, not against.
Yeah.
So many things in my life have been.
Yeah.
And so that's where I am now. I'm like, okay, that's cool. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, make the most of every opportunity.
Yeah.
So I vet the opportunity. And here's one more thing before I ask you to kind of rewind and take it back to the early 90s. I think that God, like we talk about God opening doors, I think sometimes God opened windows, opens windows. And they are glimpses of the opportunities that are going to come in the door.
No, I have so many stories of those. windows.
Look, Tenny, I can do this. Mm. I can do this. Stay on the track. Audience, I wish you could see her face. Stay on the track. Stay on target. Stay in alignment with me. Here's what I'm showing. Here's a picture. Here's evidence that I can do what I say I'm going to do. right? Signs and wonders. Some things are not for us to get up and pack our bags and commit to. Some things are just signs. Mm. Some things are just signs. I gotta stay right there for a minute. What is it? What spill it? What did he do? Did God slay you? Slayed you there?
He always does. I think that is a testament to my life. So one of the things that you mentioned was talking about the flow, and when I was applying for those jobs, it just kept coming into my heart, like everything flowing, nothing forced. And so if something is forced, I always tend to like need to take a step back, because I know everything good that has come into my life, it almost was like I was chilling and God just like brought it, right? And the things that I tried to force weren't it. But and so
what's the difference between feeling that it's forced and feeling the work that still needs to go in with the blessing? Because we're not saying as believers that there's no work involved, or that there's no effort, right? Even if the effort is just saying yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the effort is saying yes. Sometimes the effort is like Abraham taking your child up to the mountain and putting them there on the altar, right? And saying, yeah, I'll pick this up, I'll work. But because I don't want people to get misconstrued that everything comes easy either.
Mm-hmm. No. I think that if I had not done the work to get to that place of alignment, those things wouldn't have flowed to me in the first place, right? And so perfect example is like me applying to schools the second time around, where I told you I would apply for programs and would get them, but it didn't feel right. I was still doing the work. I was still applying. I was still taking the tests that I needed to take. And the whole, it was a combination of like being discerning, mm-hmm. and doing the work, like being prepared for that whatever is flowing to you to come to you at the right time. And so I think I always think about like positioning, right? Where you have to keep walking. You have to keep walking, but you have to keep walking steadily. Like you can't just sit down and wait for something to come to you, right? But when the thing comes to you and you're walking in the path that you're supposed to, when it's time to stop, you'll know. Or when it's time to pivot, you'll know. But if you're sitting down and you don't get to that place where the pivot is, you will never like pivot. You'll never get the thing that is there for you, that's waiting there for you. So yeah, I think for me, trust has been a lot about like taking those steps, walking. My word for this year has been stride. Like just keep going, even if it's a little bit every day, keep going. Even when it's foggy outside, take the next step. Like even if you can't see what is out there, one step at a time. And I think that is how God has worked in my life, is like, as long as you're walking, I'm going to meet you at each point.
Mm-hmm. Mm. He's beaten us to the points.
Yeah.
Right. He's been where we're going. Talking about this journey. What's been the darkest part, of this journey? I was with you when you were saying foggy, you know, the fog, impairing my vision, right? That's faith. Even if I can't see it, God said it, so I'm gonna keep walking. But that gets scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary and it gets dark. And I don't know about you, but I've gotten off track. I've gotten off track, yes, because I thought that my way was better, but I've gotten off track because I couldn't see. Yeah. Maybe that was a faith thing in my journey, but I don't know, but I can see right now, like parts of my life where it was so foggy.
Yeah.
So foggy. What's that mile marker for you going all the way back to high school, LA, Tenney?
I would say the foggiest part was when I did get to college and I was away from my family, right? I was like on the other side of the country alone. I didn't know nobody. I was with a bunch of really rich white kids and I had no white friends when I was in LA. So like, it was just culture shock on so many levels. And I had to redefine identity, you know, and like in a very raw space, like a space that wasn't necessarily accommodating to me, right? And so I am away from everything that I know and what is familiar, and questioning career, questioning upbringing, values, faith.
You did question your faith.
Oh, of course.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I was like, what is all of my life? I've been doing what everyone tells me to do. I've been going to church and, you know, believing in God because I was told to. And not only because I was told to. I feel like I had my own relationship with God, but it was very much tied to the same performance that was tied to like the relationships with family and society and this in the community I was in, right? And so I had to redefine what that is, looks like. And it was helpful to be with people my age from all walks of life because I got to see what was possible. Mm-hmm. I got to see how other people walked out their faith in ways that were very different from what I was raised in. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a playground. Like I got to try things. I got to test things. But prior to that playground, it was a lot of fog. It was a lot of just like anxiety, fear, loneliness.
You know, the age 20 through 30, that whole decade is so important.
Oh, I'm still in it. I'm still in it. That's what I'm saying. This process thing.
You're on the playground. Let me you're on the playground. Somebody's gonna listen to this and start running because to go from I can't go outside and play because it's raining and it's foggy and I'm gonna get lost and I'm gonna get drenched and I'm gonna get hurt to you are free to roam about the cabin to you can go play.
And I certainly thank God for the foundation of faith laid by our parents.
I'm so grateful for our parents. I'm so grateful for Howard Barbie dropping me off at Sunday school every Sunday.
Yeah.
Right. While he might have sat in the car, smoked a cigarette and listened to NPR while I was inside of St. Luke CME learning the Beatitudes. I'm so grateful for that experience, but I'm so grateful for the God that was on the playground with
me. Yeah, absolutely.
And coming into your own faith. So again, you know, for my our listeners that are in that age group, it is a lot. If you're feeling a lot, it's supposed to be a lot. I realized at 27, I was like, oh, I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm, like you said, I think that the older I get, the more grateful I am for the foundation that I did have, right? Because my parents are amazing. Took us to church, like provided everything that we needed in a new space, right? And so me going to college and having to come into this new identity, because Faith for me is very personal. Like, my relationship with Christ is a reflection of my relationship with myself, right? And like, I can't relate to God without it being just very personal, like very specific. Like, the ways God speaks to me are like for me, right? And so in order for me to be able to receive that, I had to come into who I am. And so I was in college, like wrestling with this redefining or coming into my identity, or like figuring out who I am, as everyone does at around that age, and then simultaneously having to figure out who God is in relation to this new who I am. And it's like the chicken and the egg type of thing. Like, which one comes first? Do I find out about God and then he reveals who I am? Do I learn about myself? And it's what I'm learning now is like both and all at the same time, right? And that's something I didn't learn, you know, growing up. It was very much like, let's learn about Jesus. Let's learn about God. Let's follow the rules of faith, but not so much about the relationship and like how personal it is and how important it is to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God about who we are. There's no performance. There's no pretense in the faith that I have now, right? I can come to him and be like, this is me, God. Like, this is all of me. I can lay it all out. But I had to get there.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think, oh, it's so beautiful. And there's something so peaceful about that, girl. It's peaceful and personal, and it's everlasting. Mm. It's everlasting. And it is not one size fits all. Mm. It is one God fits all of you. Mm. I'm thinking about this relationship that we have with God. And it's like, when I was younger, I swore by Nestle cookies.
Chocolate chip ones?
Chocolate chip ones in a tool. And that's how my faith started, right? And because somebody showed me those cookies. Somebody showed me, and it was great. The Bible talks about, remember when you first, you know, loved, and remember that when you first came into the fold. So those cookies were everything. And then I grew up and started getting, you know, the solid food, you know, that was, the Bible talks about the milk. Now I'm on solid food. Now I'm thinking, you know, it's nothing wrong with those cookies. It's kind of store-bought. I think, let me try to make my own from scratch. Mm-hmm. And trying to perfect that and trying to have this good recipe and make them chewy. And, you know, if you like your cookies crunchy, maybe you make yours crunchy. And all in all, and then now at age 41, you know, I can, you know, as the saints say, get back on that old time religion, you know what I'm saying? The faith of my fathers, put some of those, you know, cookies in the oven, or I can sit in there and really, really work out my faith with fear and trembling with God and try every single day to perfect this recipe of a homemade, a to my liking, to God's understanding of how he created me to be, homemade batch of cookies, right? There's nothing wrong with the Nestle's, but that's not where I can end up. I can't end up right there. I gotta get flour. I gotta get sugar. I gotta get chocolate chips. I gotta hear his directions. I gotta cultivate this faith and this relationship with God for myself at some point. And I want to ask, did it happen for you where you just felt like when you were walking with God that you just wanted more? It just, what my parents told me and what everybody else was talking about, it just wasn't enough. It didn't hit the spot.
That's a good question. I think for me, it was more of I wanted truth. Like, I wanted to know, because my journey of like coming into identity or just accepting who I am and living fully in my truth was a process. Like, it wasn't, it was like literally like shedding. Like you have a really wet towel and God's like, I'm gonna wring all the parts that you've been holding on to that are not no longer gonna serve you. And then, you know, you wring the towel out and then he like is fanning it, and then you see a different, like the towel is like almost a different color. Because everything that wasn't supposed to be there has been wringed out. And so the more that I started to learn pieces of myself, so it, like creatively that I was gifted there, and that the way that I loved people, and I saw just how unique God made each of us, that made me want to know him more, because I was like, I'm not a mistake. Like, the exact way he made me, I want to live fully in that. And in order for me to do that, I have to be aligned. Like, I have to be, I have to get that identity vertically, right? I have to be like in the same mind where I can hear from God and where I can base my identity on who he has created me to be, because I'm not a mistake. If he can make me and all these other people so unique, like, he is worth knowing, because we're all amazing. The way that he makes each of us is just like the gifts and the intentionality behind each and every part of each human being is just beautiful. And the God who created us all must then be beautiful, like beyond my imagination.
That's so amazing. We, as we're going into this Christmas season, everybody's so enamored with the gifts. Everybody's so enamored with themselves, and we all go through it. You know, we are in a selfie, a mode of perpetual selfiness. And you had a moment where you said, I am awesome. I was not a mistake. And I was created, as I say to people sometimes, on purpose, for purpose.
Yeah.
Right. But let me get to know my creator. I'm the creation. Let me get to know the God behind it all.
Yeah.
This is so good. When Tinny comes back, she's going to walk us down her spiritual memory lane. We're thinking of this process and this journey as a journey, as a trip, right? Your entire life is a trip, and there are destinations and pit stops and mile markers, and we want to look at those times in our journey and take a spiritual inventory of what happened? What did we learn? What did we glean from this point in our process? Come back and listen to Tinny some more as she talks more about the power to trust the process. Ah, so much power and strength, right? Strength and trusting. God knows where he's going, and he knows where he's taking you. Come on back to Consider the Lilies.
What did God reveal to you at various stages of your physical journey? So coming from Nigeria to the States, from LA to Durham, from Durham to Seattle, like these mile markers.
Shauna. So many things. Wow.
Because we, you know, we move to different places and there's a physical move, but he can move as you're sitting in your chair. But there, I think there is an equally epic spiritual move when we move physically.
Yes, for sure. Each place I have been brought to has lessons for me. And I strongly believe that. And I think it's also because I move with the spirit. Like I'm very sensitive to what God is saying to me. And so when I get to a place, I always ask him, what do you want me to get from here? Like, what am I supposed to learn here? Right. And so Nigeria to LA, I think that was, I was young. But I think that's where I learned leadership. I learned adaptability. I learned that, you know, God is going to provide for me and my family from beginning to end, right? That he's going to give us the little things. He's going to give us the big thing. Like, we would never be lacking.
And how old were you? Were you 9?
I was 9, yeah. So yeah, that's where I learned about Jehovah Rapha.
You knew about that God at 9? That's a good foundation.
In reflection, I did.
Yeah.
I think I knew because I was never worried. I was never like, even though when we moved, it wasn't, we definitely by no means were like rich or, you know, like it was a hard transition. But I always felt like we would get what we needed. And my family's a very prayerful family. So like every Sunday we pray together for the past at least 20 years. And so I've always just had like from that transition, I think was like what solidified for me, like God is always going to provide. LA to college, which was in New Hampshire, that was for me, God is a personal God.
Mm-hmm.
That God has created me, Tenny, and that Tenny is worth getting to know. And then Durham. Ooh.
I just want to thank y'all for just tuning in. It's like this, yo. Yo. When Tay pull his verses out, promoters pull their purses out. That money for a purchase out. That charge card that they swipe for the worst amounts. Cause this is business, not personnel. Thought that I would switch my personnel. Like Big Doe and Big Pooh would be the first to bounce. But y'all, this is boring me. I'm never gonna change up. Please join a sorority. Go step your game up. Y'all boys ain't ready for damage. You need extra planning. You in the game, but you offsides and got an extra man. And I'm the coach doing your reprimanding. I got a team to run, boy. Respect my standards. And when I'm on the mic, y'all should expect the grandest. Show a lyricism. Ever let them know who your man is.
Durham was like healing. God the healer. Because I think that there were a lot of things that I was carrying. And it's funny because I went to Durham to get an MBA, but I really felt like I went to Durham to heal. And Maya's Room was like a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm. That's my writer's guild.
Yeah. So Durham is healing. And I think Seattle is... Seattle is like kind of rebirth.
Thank you.
did some concrete work in healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's time for me to sit in the aftermath of that and live from the aftermath of that. So that looks like, you know, creating more, being intentional about joy, and appreciating or like looking out. Durham was very much looking in.
Where is love in all of this? You know, I am in this episode talking to another beautiful queen who is young, successful, single, writer.
I think that romantic love, right? I think that God has used that process also to teach me about trust. Because I'm the type of person, like, I like to go into situations and I want to know. And I'm like, God, is this the person? But there are lessons that I've had to learn through not knowing.
Come on, Tinny. Are you good after 4 days? Like 4 days?
Literally, I'm always like, oh, well, I heard from the Lord that you're not. So I think that that has been part of my journey, is being like, okay with not knowing, okay with going into situations, of course, like guarding my heart, but being open to the lessons that each person brings, right? And not being so scared of like making a mistake or like falling out of grace.
My heart needs to feel you, but you back up. Let your guard down, just set it on the table.
Look, guys, these personal human relationships are often some of the most memorable mile markers on our journey, on our trip, in our process. And yeah, as we trust God with decisions in our lives, professional, where we're going to live, what we're going to study, what we're going to do, we trust God in our relationships. Tinny is going to talk about that as we get ready to close out this phenomenal episode. Episode 6, The Power to Trust the Process. Trust.
Can't fall out of grace, right? It's everlasting, ever present.
Mm-hmm.
But really taking the time to hear from God, even if things don't work out the way that I want them to, or I think they should, and being open. I think that's one thing that, you know, moving so much when I was young and being in different situations that were sometimes hard for me, it made me kind of closed off.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process of dating has taught me, like, you need to be open. Like, yes, you've been hurt in the past, but you can't go into every situation being like, this person's about to hurt me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the current journey I'm on right now, is where, like, learning to let that defense mechanism go and trust that God is walking with me in the process, and that the same spirit that speaks to me in all other aspects of my life will also show up for me in this aspect too, if I let God in.
Mm-hmm. You said something about, And we kind of laugh there, but it's really serious, especially if you've been on this journey and there has been pain associated with love. Nobody wants to touch the stove twice. Mm. I mean, maybe some of us do. Let me not lie on myself. But we're not saying that you let guards down. We're not saying that you don't rely and lean on discernment. But what is that doing for you? Does that let you enjoy, you know, God's people a little bit better? You know, mm-hmm. if you're not putting them through these never-ending litmus tests. I'm not talking about you, Timmy. You know, I mean, it could be hard, and it also can be unfair to people. You know, it can be unfair. We're in the vein.
No, it definitely has. It has.
You have to take strength.
You do. You do. And I think that, you know, as women, as Black women, there's a lot of hurt thrown at us in all different directions, right? So we're like, I'm going to control the parts that I can control. And oftentimes that is in romantic relationships, right? And so my tendency has been to try to protect my future self. But what that does is prevents me from showing up fully as myself now. And so, yeah, it's definitely taught me to give people more grace, give myself more grace, even my friends, like friendships, familiar relationships, just giving grace all around. But in order for me to give grace, I have to receive grace from God first, right? Mm-hmm. And I have to leave room for learning, and learning oftentimes looks like mistakes, right?
You are so gentle in your relationships. You know, our relationship, I see you with our girls in our Writers Guild. Are you as gentle with yourself? Mm. And if you're better, you know, how did you get better, or do you need to get better?
Wow. I love people really hard. And so what that looked like for me was giving. And often, you know, we've had this conversation so many times, giving from a place of emptiness. And it's not till recently where I've learned about like self-compassion. I have learned to ask myself, like, how are you doing and what do you need? Like that, those are questions I never asked myself until literally this year. And I remember
this whole journey that we're talking about is just you asking God and asking yourself questions mm-hmm. all the time.
It's a lot of questions.
It's a lot of questions. What do I like? What do I not like? You know, where should I be? What should I read? What should I listen to? What should I eat? Right? Like literally those are just as important as where should I live?
Absolutely.
What should I eat?
It's those little things. What should I drink today? You know, how should I wear my hair?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
And those things we think God doesn't care, but he does. Mm-hmm. He does.
He has what you eat and drink and wear already factored into the process. Mm-hmm. That's why he told us to not worry about it. That's why he told us not to toil, not to spin, to consider the lilies, not to even worry about that stuff. Mm. And so we concern ourselves with these things that tend to consume us, and we miss those playground moments. Mm-hmm. I think what you said and what I see on you is that this is the time where this is your best time so mm-hmm. far of being so gentle with Timmy.
Yes.
In this place, even in this new land, in this new state.
It is. And it's not been easy. I think the first few months of quarantine, I was telling my friend, like, it was so hard to show up for myself. And one of my friends calls it like mothering yourself, right? Mm. And I was like, why is it so hard for me to wake up and like cook 3 meals for myself? Like, it's almost like I had to convince myself that I deserved that amount of care and love, right? And affection. And so that is something that I am still coming into. And the more that I practice, because it is a practice, like we don't just wake up and do it. You have to be intentional about it.
Practicing, like, a process.
Exactly. And so the more that I do it, the more, you know, it's becoming part of me. And we're at, and it, you know, we talked about, it's a lot of questions, but it's also a lot of listening. Oh. Like if something happens, if someone asks me something, I have to check and listen to my body. Like, how is my body responding to this? Like, if I'm saying yes with my mouth and my body is saying no, right? Mm. Even if it's something like a question at work, like, hey, can you get this done for me? And I'm like, sure. But I know there's like 50 other things I need to do, and I'm not giving myself that grace to say no. My body tells me. And so I've been doing a lot more of like listening as well to what I'm not even saying, because I do that with other people. I'm, you know, very like empathetic and intuitive. And so I've been learning to like bring that back around to myself.
Mm-hmm. Is it what we didn't see growing up with the maternal and the feminine models in our lives of putting themselves last? Did we not get, or let me not even ask hypothetically, did you get models of women in your family, in your circle, that were empathetic to themselves, or were they kind of hard on themselves?
Yeah, I think that not in the way that I am practicing now, right? I think that the models that I have of like motherhood were very much like, put your children first, you know, even in my house, put your children first, your family, your husband, and then whatever is left, you can pour into yourself. And I think Maya's Room honestly was the first time that I've witnessed something else is possible.
Wow.
And I literally, like, I was like, what is this? Like, you have these beautiful women who have full, boisterous lives, careers, families, taking time out intentionally to cultivate this gift that they have that they're not yet getting any validation for, really, right? That no one is like giving them millions of dollars to do this, but they have gathered up the strength, the courage, the knowing that it's worth doing. I was floored. I remember the first time I came into Maya's Room, there was, everyone was telling their stories. And I was just like, I'm home. Like, I have a lot of things that I need to learn. I could even just sit there and be full. Like, I don't have to say anything. I don't have to write anything. I can just learn by observing what is possible.
Wow. So Maya's Room is definitely going in the backpack. If you were, as we wrap up this beautiful, beautiful discussion, you know, I think the last time you and I talked, it was for 3 hours. But as we wrap this up, I want you to picture where I need you to go, because I need you to go to Mount Rainier, because I can't get there, and you're there, and you gotta hug that mountain for me. because that she's everything. I have personified her, and Tenny is in Seattle, guys. And
yes,
my one and only time that I went to Seattle, we did Seattle and Vancouver. And that was right before we got engaged. And James took me to Mount Rainier, and that's actually where we wanted to get married. And I found out, just asking myself questions, you know, that just the landscape of the mountain, that type of scenery is necessary for my well-being. Mm. So I'm not just talking about a place that I like, I'm talking about a place where, like, that's my fountain. So Tini, you've got your boots on, you've got your hiking gear, and you're on your journey. And this is your journey of success, right? This is your journey of wholeness. This is your journey of wellness. This is your journey of self-awareness and being comfortable in your beautiful Black skin. What is in that backpack? Mm. What's in that backpack?
Definitely my devotional. Okay. I read my Jesus Calling devotional.
All right.
Maya's room for sure.
Yeah.
My family.
Maya's room. Let me just say, guys, yes, we write, right? We write, we speak, we speak into. And so maybe it's not a writer's guild per se, but just a space where you can be with safe people. And you can also be creative, and you're just safe.
Yeah.
And you may not know them so well, but you know them.
Yes.
They kind of look like you. You feel what they're feeling. That we talked about, you said your word, what was your word for the year?
Stride.
Right. My word is alignment. Mm. My word is alignment. We've talked about it in a couple of podcasts. Maya's room for me is a space of alignment. So again, it may not be a writer's guild, but find some place, some opportunity to spend with other women, other guys that are just safe, good people.
Yeah.
That just want the best for you and can create with you. So we got Jesus Calling, we got Maya's room, we've got what else?
Family and friends, loved ones for sure, in one way or another. And then my personal tools, so yoga.
That's right.
Meditation. So I got my certification to teach yoga, but I don't teach. I teach myself. And I did that for me. So definitely those are my practices. Like I do the Insight Timer app, my journal for sure.
Okay.
Daily walks and prayer.
Mm-hmm. You've got a book. You've been writing. Mm-hmm. Do you have to create? Do you not feel right if you're not creating?
Ooh. Writing for me is, I think I wrote, like, it helps me stand up straight. So if I don't get the words out, I'm hunched over. Mm-hmm. And so it has become necessary. And, you know, I talk about Maya's room all the time, but Maya's room gave me that permission, right?
You weren't writing before the guild?
I was writing in my journal and putting it under my bed.
Wow. Why do we hide from our greatness?
You know, we need permission. We do. We do. As much as, you know, we like to think we don't. And permission is not someone saying you go do this. Permission is example.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm. Put permission in my backpack.
You got that.
Put permission in my backpack.
You know.
And my permission comes from God. If God says I can be it, if He says I can do it, if he thought enough and took the time to open that window, as we talked about, and share the vision with me, it's my responsibility to write it down and to make it plain.
Yeah.
And to trust the process and trust that he'll, you know, provide for the vision. He already has the provision worked out. He didn't give me the vision and say, now go worry about the provision. Mm. I've already done that.
One last thing I want to say is, when I was in college, my sophomore year, we're allowed to do a trip or, you know, do like kind of like a semester off and go live somewhere else. And so my best friend was in Seattle and I was like, I'm going. So I like filled out all the forms. I got all my references, called everybody up, and I was going to come for a semester. I just knew it. And my school did not accept, like I didn't get the opportunity. So I was just like, this does not make sense. Like, I know I'm supposed to be in Seattle. Like, I heard it. But that was a window. And that was 2010. And I'm here in 2020, 10 years later, in Seattle, living in God's timing, living and working there in a way that 10 years ago, I would not have been able to live fully in, right? And so what you said about windows has been recurring in my life, where God gives me a glimpse of something and then I try to do it now. But he's saying, I didn't say that was for now. I'm just showing you something mm-hmm. that I need you to walk steadily into.
And you're walking.
You're walking forward. Yes.
And you are successful.
Amen.
You are a model. You are somebody that, you know, I said before that my role models are in my circle. Mm-hmm. I want to know my role models, and it has nothing to do with age. You know, it's there's so many older women that if they are real with themselves, they would say, hey, the younger sisters in my life put me on.
They
inspire me, and you inspire me. And I can remember, you know, like I said, 27, I've asked the question, who am I? And then God started showing me, and then I accepted my calling to preach, and different things started happening. And so I'm just glad that God, we serve such a faithful God that will answer questions. And we've got a heavy, heavy backpack of things that we need. We definitely, let me just say this in the spirit, take out or take inventory, ladies and gentlemen, of what is in your backpack as we leave 2020. If you need to take it out, dump everything out. Right? We got another metaphor. Leave it. I don't want to go into another season of my life with something that God has told me to discard. But I'm so glad that he's faithful to walk on this journey with us, to answer the questions, to give us directions. And like we said earlier, he's already made a place for us to lay our heads.
I remember you told me to pray and just ask God, take care of me. Yeah. And I do that often. And I'm like, Shauna told me to tell you to take care of me.
I know. Look, don't be going to him like that. Listen, God, Shauna told me.
That's how I talk to God, though. Yeah, but
I
no.
Like, I trust her because Shauna knows.
No, I do.
If it and wasn't for me, Shauna wouldn't have had a place in her head. No. Yeah, girl, to God be the glory. Yeah, he has literally given me places to rest. To rest. Yeah. Where are you headed, Tenny? Where are you headed? You got your backpack, you got your shoes on. What's next?
I've been pouring into my backpack, into my creative basket this year, and I've been building a foundation for me to live out of next year. So for me, that means creating space, as you led us to do in Maya's room, and building outlines and like skeletons and writing down ideas. And so next year I'm going to live out of those. You know, my chapbook is going to be out next year. And Wash Between Your Toes.
Oh, yes, that'll preach.
You know, and it's talking about just taking time to remember the small things, because those are really the big things. And there, yeah, I've just got a lot of creative, I want to make stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that next year.
Okay. How do we see it? Where are you?
I'm on Instagram.
Okay.
And then I have a website that is, yes. So my Instagram is Tenenla. And it has an underscore.
Okay. And we'll put it in our program notes.
Yes.
Awesome. You're going places, kid.
Amen. I believe it. I know it.
Yeah. It's a good journey, isn't it? Just to walk with him wherever he takes us.
Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee. Right? I don't care where you take me, God.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm open. Right?
My prayer is always like, God, whatever I do, let it be a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone sees something that I write or create, even if it's a video, like let there be an aroma of God on there that makes them just remember something, even if it's small.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always my prayer.
That's good. Tini, I love you. I'm so
love you too, Sean.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm grateful because you
say hashtag goals, but
no,
I don't do that. There might be some stops along your journey that I'm not equipped to handle. So I'm going to be on my road.
Amen.
You inspire me. And for everybody else who's listening, just let people inspire you and take something sweet, like she said, just an aroma of God on the things that people around you are doing and saying. And then you just trust God to make your own cookies.
Yes.
Make your own.
Let us not
craft your own journey.
Amen.
Because you got, let me tell you, you got a lot of stops. You got a lot of places. You got a lot of hills, mountains, valleys.
Everywhere.
Playgrounds, fog. It's a lot. It's a lot just being you with
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So, but Tenny, you are something special and I'm super, super proud of you.
I'm so grateful for this space. Yeah. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you for helping us just understand the strength and the strength and the peace in trusting the process. Mm. You're so strong and you have this peace that surpasses all understanding for you to just get your degree and then a few weeks later and, you know, hop on a plane in a pandemic and start another chapter of your life somewhere.
Yeah.
And you are all right. You are all right. And for anybody else who is afraid of making these types of moves because of what the world looks like outside your window, don't.
Yeah.
There's always stuff going on. There's always, you know, trouble lurking.
Mm.
Use your discernment. He didn't give us the power of fear, the spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. God says move, even in a pandemic.
Amen. Amen.
Real talk.
Like realest talk.
I hope that you can listen to this podcast at a playground. Yeah. And let this be your dance and music. Find your path. Trust your process. Trust God's process for you. And put some things in your backpack, right? That's a good place to start. Take that fear out. Put power, love, and a sound mind. Did you know that God has endowed you with wisdom? He's endowed you with discernment. You could do like Solomon. You could pray for more wisdom if you want more. He's certainly generous to give it. He's gracious to give you what you ask for. Wisdom. And when we don't know where to turn and when we don't know what to do, thank God for God's Holy Spirit, right? Who leads and guides us in all truth. This conversation with Tenny has been exactly what I needed. It's good. It's good stuff. Check your inventory, check your backpack, and dance, and move, and be still, and be empathetic and kind to yourself. Trust the process. Guess what? You're not God's first rodeo. God has been there and done that. God's got plenty of experience. He can handle your life. Yeah, he's got it. I am confident that God can handle my little old life. God bless you. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of Consider the Lilies. And I hope you dance your way out of 2020 into all the promises and blessings that God has in store for you today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your lives. Thank you and God bless. This is Consider the Lilies.